That just sounds like a lot of echo to me. Is everybody okay with that? Does that sound all right to everybody? All right. Verse 11, Acts 28, verse 11. Let's start there. And after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fetched a compass and came to Regillium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and we came to the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. Now, I'm going to stop there. We're going to go through a little bit more verses on this chapter. And I just want to go through some things in this chapter and kind of put it like this. The things that are going to be happening the closer we get to the rapture, I believe, are pictured in this chapter right here, in chapter 28. Many things that we're going to see, or we are seeing right now, before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, once again, I thank you we can come before your presence and just thank you for your kindnesses. And like we sang, surely mercy, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And Lord, you've been so good to us. And just thank you for these folks here coming out. And Lord, we pray for their pastor and the folks that are traveling. We pray that you would watch over and keep them safe. And Lord, might you just help them and bless them where they are. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to say on this thing right here, this chapter may seem a little like a peculiar chapter in what I'm going to be giving you, but we're going to explain some of those things as we go down through here. At the end of the book of Acts chapter the book of Acts, of course, is the Acts of the Apostles. You find there in chapter 27, you know, what you've got in chapter 27 is Paul's voyage, right? And in that voyage there, you know, you found he had a terrible storm. He had a shipwreck, right? And, of course, a lot of pictures in those things. A shipwreck can picture, you know, you as a Christian in your life and things you run into. You know, storms here and there and problems and troubles and things like that. And, of course, you find here that the Lord got Paul. He got through it. And you know, of course, that with the Christian, the Lord is never going to leave you nor forsake you. You also realize that the Lord knows the reason for the storms we go through. My message is not going to be particularly aimed at all that. But on the things what I want to say here that parallel in this chapter with what's going to be going on with us today. It's kind of a thing to see and realize, you know, folks, we're getting closer to the Lord coming back. Okay, and there's pictured in this in the Bible right here. In Acts chapter 28, you know, historically speaking, Paul has approximately, you know, they say 7 years before he is beheaded. Right here at the end of Acts chapter 28. It would be about 62 A.D. here in Acts chapter 28. 2 Timothy, when he writes that, it's about 66 or 67. And folks, he's not got much longer before he gets his head chopped off, okay? Now, none of us, of course, know when the Lord's going to take us, right? We don't have that knowledge, of course, unless maybe sometime you go to the doctor or something like that and he says, hey, look, it looks like you only got, you know, like 7 more years to go. You got this disease and something's, you know, you ain't gonna got much longer on that thing, you know. I don't know, you know, how you might take that. Maybe you'd just be walking with the Lord and you say, well, let's go, Lord, sooner than that, you know. Come on, come get me. But the thing I know would be important on that is that you're ready to go. Right? Whenever, whatever time, whenever the Lord may say, okay, your time's up, right? You want to be ready to go. Now, in this time in Acts chapter 28, this thing here, Paul, is he's getting close to home. When you say 7 years, that's not very long, actually, when you take a look at it like that before he takes off. So I want to parallel this thing to us heading home in the rapture. I'm sure you've heard several different maybe dates on that thing about the date of the rapture coming. I am not a date setter. I'm not going to tell you a date when I think the rapture is going to happen. You know, people try to figure that thing out and they don't know exactly. You can guess at that kind of thing. You can work on that and, you know, and say, well, you know, you look at things around and you say, hey, it looks like it's going to be pretty close, right? I say, I know this. I know we're closer now than we ever have been before. Right? What a blessing. You woke up this morning and you're a day closer to the Lord coming back, right? But, you know, what if it was, folks, what if it was really just 7 years more to go before the Lord came back. What if we just had 7 years to go? I'd say everyone in here would make it, right? Lord willing, you'll be able to make that thing 7 more years, no problem, right? I hear some of the younger folks saying, well, I wanted to get married first before the Lord come back, right? Listen, young folks, you'd be better off if the Lord came back in the rapture, just like all the rest of us, right? You might, I say, the big scheme of the world, you're not missing, you're not missing out, okay? You'd be better off, right? So Paul's never been closer, I'm going to say, to getting home in this final stretch in Acts 28. So I see a number of things in these verses here in chapter 28 that tell us, hey, we are close to getting out of here. Now, you understand when I say that, I believe the Bible is a supernatural book. You believe that? This book is just not natural, okay? It is supernatural. You say, what do you mean? It transcends time, okay? It rises above history. Can I tell you, this book right here can go to further events, future events that's going to take place. This is not just a everyday normal book that you got here. It's going to show you things to come. It is a history book. It covers history, and yet it is a supernatural book at the same time. And it can show you things that's going to happen right before the rapture takes place. I believe that. And I just want to show you from the passage here how you can know, I believe, that we are getting closer to going home to in that rapture coming up to get us. All right, so number one, I want to say this. The closer we get to home, I want to tell you, the church is naturally heading more and more toward Rome. You say, what do you get that? Look at verse 14. Notice he said there, where we found brethren, we desired and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. Now, it's kind of interesting. I start in verse 11. Take a look over there in verse 11. Again, notice, after 3 months, we departed in a ship of Alexandria. Now, there's a lot of things connected with those two places right there, Alexandria, Egypt, and Rome, okay? If you follow, and I know you've got some things there about the manuscript evidence of your Bible. That's the place, folks, with all the Bible correctors living there in that place, and that's Alexandria, Egypt, okay? The Bible gives a negative light on that place. When you look up references about Alexandria, it's negative, 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 okay? On the opposite hand, you've got a place called Antioch, where they were first called Christians in Antioch, and that's where another set of manuscripts comes through, that bunch right there, and it's positive, okay? So you need to take note on that, okay? In that ship, you realize you've got the Apostle Paul. He's responsible for authoring 13 New Testament books. That's Paul. He's the one who wrote those, right? You got Luke. He's the author of 2 books in the New Testament right there. So you got these guys going in that, and you see the picture, folks, is you see they're... You see the way some of the manuscripts that Paul had written and the writers in the Bible and stuff like that, the way that where they went, okay? And when they went down, and they got down to Alexandria, Egypt, they were corrupted by some fellows called Clement, Philo, and Origen. They were in Alexandria, Egypt, and they corrupted some of those manuscripts. And what those manuscripts, when he got done with them, those are the ones that went up to Rome. And that's where you come up with the RV, the ASV, those kind of manuscripts. Those manuscripts come back all the way down from Alexandria, Egypt, that went up there and got corrupted and they went to Rome, okay? The other manuscripts you got come from Antioch. Those were passed from Christian to Christian to Christian going through there. And that's the manuscripts that your Bible comes from. This King James Bible right here comes from Antioch, okay? Now you see here, and then in Acts 28, they were in a ship of Alexandria. Verse 14, they went toward Rome. So that's going to tell you something you probably already know. Maybe if you've seen some things, maybe you don't. But you understand that all around you now, for years and years, I'd have to say for years and years now, the churches, folks, and Christians, you're talking about those churches, they are headed back toward Rome, okay? The church is naturally going to be heading toward Rome. Rome has its own ways of doing things, unlike those in Antioch, okay? There are different methods, there are different manners, there are different manuscripts, and there's different music. Now, Brother Hoffman has that in his notes if you paid attention, right? And you're reading some of those things. He hits on that kind of stuff because it's right on the money, okay? When I say the closer we get to home, the closer we get to the rapture coming and the Lord coming back, you're going to see those ways, okay, of Rome moving more and more into churches today. When you look around, you see the way churches are and what they're doing on that kind of stuff. They have their Alexandrian Bibles, those manuscripts that have been corrupted. They have their music. That music has crept into most Baptist churches now. You say what? That's music with a syncopated beat. That's worldly, fleshly music in churches today, folks. That's where the church is headed, right? You know, you're going to be in apostasy before the Lord comes back. We are in Laodicea right now. And churches that don't have Bible-believing pastors who stand upon the Word of God, they just get off into those kind of stuff and they're gone, man. You know what they're trying to do? They say, well, we're trying to minister to the young folks. We want to get the young people in and we're going to use those ways, right? They're going to bring in the jazzy music. They're going to bring in, you know, newer translation Bibles and stuff like that to get people into the church. And I tell you something, folks, you know what you got to do? You and I, we got to hold the line, okay? We're holding the line. I believe it's close before the Lord comes back. I'm not going to follow that road. I'm not going to be a part of that kind of stuff by the grace of God that's going to take us back to Rome. You say, well, what would Rome have me to do? Well, they're going to have you just do whatever you feel like. You say, well, preacher, I kind of like that. I'm going to go over to the church. Help yourself. But you are going to be messed up. Okay? You're going to be messed up, Christian. I'm going to tell you, just living like a flesh pot, following your flesh, doing what you feel like you want to do and all that kind of stuff. You say, you know, someone asked me, what do you offer our young people? I say, preaching. Say, well, what do you have for our seniors? You know, what do you have for the seniors? Preaching. I say, whatever else in between, what I have to offer them, folks, is just preaching. That is anti-Rome. Folks, that is not the way of Rome. Rome has replaced the preaching with a lot of psychology. That's what you hear on the radio. That's what you hear on TV preaching. A bunch of psychologists, amateur psychologists, trying to give you what they believe in their opinion about things. Well, you know, by the grace of God, I'm not going to be going that. What I want to do is I want to preach to your heart. Okay, I'm not here to preach so you can just feel warm and fuzzy. Right? And feel good all over. That just makes me want to retch. You know, and all kinds of stuff. I ain't going to do that by the grace of God. I'm here to preach Jesus Christ and that He is the answer. He's what you need. He's all what you need. Rome tries to give you something else in exchange, right? They want to add the jazz. They want to add, the different Bibles. They want to add stuff to it. It doesn't work, folks. It doesn't work to please God, okay? So I want to say this, if you ever run into somebody and you get talking to them, you know, and trying to witness to them, and they're saved, and they talk about, you know, their church and the newer Bible versions that they have and how much stuff they get out of it, I kind of suggest, well, hey, you know what, friend, you need to kick that church to the curb. You need to get yourself into a Bible-believing church. And stand on that, right? Stand with the Lord on that kind of stuff, on a King James Bible. Folks, I've told my church before, I said, hey, if I ever get messing with other Bibles and getting that kind of stuff, except the King James Bible, you have the responsibility to fire me. Fire me. Kick me out. Okay? That stuff is wrong, okay? You don't have to follow that. What you and I are supposed to follow is the Apostle Paul, his teaching and preaching, and that word right there, that book like the old timers stood. Why? Because I believe, Christian, we are getting closer home. And you got to realize and you got to see, just like in this text, man, those churches are going to be heading toward Rome in all those manners and those ways. Secondly, look at verse 15. Notice what he says, verse 15. From thence, when the brethren heard us of us, they came to meet us as far as the Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Now, I just want to say something on this. The closer you get to going home, folks, can I tell you something? An encouragement will mean more to you and others than ever before. An encouragement, right? Right? You know what that is, right? By now, you understand Paul has been, he's been at least 6 months from the time he left there on that boat. And, you know, I just want to say, encouraging Christian fellowship and Christians, you know, helping each other and lifting. Can I tell you, that is a precious thing even right now? It is, man. It's a precious thing. Some of you, I believe, are all that in a bag of chips too, right? I know you're in a Bible-believing church, right? You're tough. But I got to tell you, there's coming a day, right? I know that when you will need encouragement. You're going to need it, okay? I don't care how much money you got in the bank. I don't care how many followers you may have on Facebook. If you're in that kind of stuff, they're not going to give you the encouragement that you need, okay? Like you're saying here, all right? At the closer we get to going home, folks, you're going to realize that Christian encouragement means a whole lot more than it ever did before, okay? Paul's been journeying for some time. When those brethren came, what I read you, you seen there, right? He thanked God, and he took courage. You see that thing right there? You mean Paul? You know, maybe he got discouraged, or he could get discouraged. That's the Apostle Paul. Well, let me tell you, he's a man. Okay, he is a man. And honestly, the older I get, the more I appreciate encouragement. I sure do. I appreciate encouragement more and more. You think, well, hey, you know, you're the pastor. You should be a whole lot stronger than that. You should be walking with the Lord. And I understand all that, folks, I know. But I got to tell you, I sure enjoy being encouraged. All right. Have you encouraged your pastor lately? How much have you encouraged your pastor? You know, I know praying is great. You need to pray for your pastor. You sure do. He needs your prayers. Listen, now I've been on both sides of the deal here. I've sat where you guys are sitting, right? Sat in the pew, got preached to, and now I'm in a position of being a pastor, okay? And I'm going to tell you this too, folks. I can talk about Brother Hoffman since he's not here, right? I know a little bit about Brother Hoffman. Can I tell you folks, so you already know, Brother Hoffman is a number one, right? He is an a number one pastor and teacher. I listen to him. I listen to his preaching. I listen to his tapes. I listen to his things like that. And can I tell you, honestly, I have gotten a lot from Brother Hoffman. I have grown a lot. He has helped me a lot in my walk and in things in the Bible and understanding the Bible. You've got a pastor, folks, and that pastor is a man, and he needs encouragement, right? And I tell you what encourages pastors is seeing you faithful coming to church. Right? You're faithful coming to church. He sees your smiling faces. Right? He gets encouraged by you being here faithfully. He knows maybe what encourages me is seeing the folks grow, right? Taking what I've preached and maybe something they can get a hold of. And I say, man, praise God. I'll tell you an instant. One time we had an elderly lady coming. Her name was Miss Geraldine, right? And she's all by herself. And we even had, they pick her up and come to church service. And she was coming, several months, you know. And one time I was taking her home, and I got to take her home. And I was talking with her. And I said, well, Miss Geraldine, I hope, you know, that you've been getting something, you know, while you're coming here and stuff. Have you gotten anything to help you and anything like that? And she said, no. Lord, where's the altar? I need an altar. I need to get down here. What's going on? That was really discouraging, can I tell you? I don't know on that. But you encouragement to your pastor. Hey, it doesn't hurt to say, Pastor, I appreciate you. Man, I appreciate that message. I got something from that. Now, don't lie. Okay, you don't have to lie about him or to him or anything like that. But just be an encouragement. Can I tell you, it means a whole lot. It really does, folks. Just be an encouragement to your pastor right there. I'm going to say, you know, there is a need for encouragement. Make a big deal out of it. If you ever have, you know, maybe the leading or feeling like, yeah, you know, I want to call so-and-so or I just want to tell someone I appreciate you. You've been a real blessing. This has helped me or something like that. Hey, do it. Do it. If anybody's ever encouraged you or kind of lift you up and give you, you know, maybe a pat on the back and said, attaboy or something, you know, can I tell you, you know, make a big deal out of it? Make a big deal of it. You know, what did Paul do? It says there he thanked God and he took courage. Took courage. Sometimes, folks, you know, I know we put ourselves in a little box and we can look at things and we say, boy, I'm just a failure. God, there's nothing going on here. I've not done this right. I messed up here. And nobody said anything to me about that kind of stuff. But, you know, you really don't know. I mean, how God is working in people's lives and hearts if they don't come up and say, hey, you know, that was a real blessing. That was a real help to me. You know, you may not think much of it, but it is a big deal, and it's going to be more and more as time goes on before the Lord comes. All right, so third, look at something else here. Look at verse 16. All right, and when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. All right, now this I want to say here, the closer you get and I get to going home, I know I want to tell you about the spirit of the age or the things you might be feeling more and more, and that's just being alone at times, right? There might just come over you, a spirit or a feeling that, hey, I'm all alone on this thing. There's nobody standing with me, nobody helping me or thinking, I know you guys are tough and you guys can handle some things, but the day is coming, right? The day is coming, folks, you may just have to dwell by yourself, right? Paul was that he had to dwell by himself right now. Now, that's one reason, again, that encouragement is going to mean so much, because it sure feels like many times, hey, I'm just alone. I'm going to be honest with you on some stuff. Why some people keep the radio on, right? Why some people turn the TV on? You say, well, it's just for noise. You know, it's like somebody's there. I'm hearing some noise and stuff like that. Well, Paul here, you see what? He was suffered to dwell by himself. And I realize this. I know as a Christian, I'm never going to lose my salvation. I know that Christ Jesus will never leave me nor forsake me. He's going to be with you, right? He's not going to leave you. But I just have to tell you, you know, that human companionship, it sure goes a long way, right? It sure does. Sometimes that's a real blessing, amen. The closer we get to going out of here, you may just have that pressure put on you of just being alone and by yourself, and you want to be isolated, you know, you want to be by yourself. Don't get that thing right there. Another way I want to say why some folks get that lonely feeling, that's found in verse 17. Again, notice that thing there. It came to pass after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people of the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem in the hands of the Romans. Now, this thing about a prisoner, Paul was delivered a prisoner. Thank God I've never had to spend time in prison, okay, and being locked up in chains and stuff like that, or isolation or something like that thing here. And I say this, Christian, it very well might literally come to pass someday for us. Who knows what's going to happen in this country? Who knows what they're going to do with Bible believers? You call yourself a Bible believer? You're a Christian, eh? You know what? They may put you in jail. They may put you in prison. You say, oh, that won't happen. It did in other places, folks. You're talking about Christians and pastors being arrested and tormented and tortured by people who hate God. It does happen, okay? So none of this thing here, this feeling of isolation, when I look at the world and the way things are heading, well, Lord, if you don't come back quick, we just might be feeling that, right? You understand, you and I are here till you drop this robe of flesh. Okay, till we die. I'm saying we're closer to going home than ever before. And many of the saints that we know just kind of gone through that kind of thing of depression or loneliness and stuff like that. Back them up, maybe, you know, you try to do something, encourage them and things like that. But you know what? Thank God I realize one day we're going to take our flight, right? We're going to be heading on up. There's going to be a grand reunion day one time, right? One day coming up. I want to say, don't get too comfortable down here on this earth, right? You say, why? Well, they might just lock you up in a prison cell one day and you'll be on the old bench, right? Not so comfortable. But you know, folks, even through all that, hey, it's only temporary, right? Praise God, it's only temporary. Oh, Lord willing, he's coming soon. Look at verse 18. There's another reason here why that spirit of loneliness may be there. Who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death found in me, right? So this is another reason I think folks may just feel that loneliness coming on there, and that's is because they might have somebody always examining them, okay? Maybe somebody's always picking you apart. Maybe somebody's just coming in there. I don't know about you, I get kind of tired of that, right? I get tired of it, and people needling into your stuff and minding your business, and just sometimes you just say, hey, just leave me alone. Right now, listen. I understand as you as a Christian, That's going to be, okay, that's going to happen. That folks, lost folks are going to be watching you. They're going to keep their eye on you. And hey, I mean, I think the Lord is okay with that, all right? If you are trying to serve Jesus Christ, people are going to criticize you. They're going to make fun of you, of the way you do things and what you do. When we preach out the street down there in Crown Point, I don't know how many times we've always got, and mostly ladies, I think it's the men don't have any backbone, okay? Mostly ladies come and say, hey, you know, you're not doing that right. You're driving Christians and people away from you. And I said, okay, all right. If you weren't a woman and you were a man, I tell you here, show me. Show me how to draw more people to Jesus Christ and do right and those kind of things. But anyway, it's all the time, folks. It's all the time, that thing right there. I understand this. The Lord develops Christians many times through that loneliness. Moses was alone 40 years on the backside of the desert. Right? He's alone. He developed David alone. Just think when he is a young and growing up there in those sheep fields as a boy, right? Daddy had him out there taking care of the sheep and doing this all by himself, man. He had a lot of thinking to be able to do. He couldn't just turn on the, you know, device and listen to this or play this game or do that. He's watching the sheep. So he had some time. God developed him in that time, right? Elijah, he spent time alone, but I know God met his needs, right? His needs were met. And can I tell you, in that time right there, sometimes God can really just give you some things you'd never get being with everybody else around you, okay? All right, so something else I want to say here. Fourthly, can I tell you, Christian, the closer we get to going home, your cause must be defined, right? What you here for? Right? What's God got you here for? You need to define that thing the closer we get to home. Look at verse 20. There's verse 20 here, Paul. He says, for this cause, therefore have I called for you to see you, to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with his chains. So Paul's telling them his cause, right? Paul said there, he said, for the hope of Israel, I am bound. What's that? The hope of Israel is Jesus Christ, okay? He got bound for serving Jesus Christ. What's your cause, Christian? You know, Christians say, well, my cause is to get, I want to get financially secure. I'm going to make lots of money, or I'm going to get an education, you know, and build myself up and stuff like that. Well, some of that stuff I'm not saying is necessarily wrong on the thing, but you got to put things in priority. Okay, right? Your cause, you know what David said there when he was going out to fight Goliath, he said, hey, is there not a cause, right? It gets down to it where you got to figure out, you get this thing, you know, why am I living? Lord, what you got me here for right now? I've trusted you, right? Paul said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, if you take Christ out of that verse right there, for me to live is, can you fill in the blank? In your life, for me to live is what? Is it Christ? Right? On that thing? Well, I mean, what's your cause? The closer you get to that shore, can I tell you, you will wish you would have defined your cause. What are you here for? Well, I'm going to say, I'm here to bring glory and honor to my Creator. I'm here to serve my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the best I can. Folks, in whatever way He wants me. Now, can I tell you, that's a cause? That's a cause. That's something that'll go through the judgment seat of Christ on that kind of thing right there. Bringing glory to Jesus Christ, okay? We're going home. Amen? Yeah, I'm going to let you go here in just a minute, and you're going to be able to go home there too, right? Amen. If all of you here, though, can I tell you, are just on this planet just to make a paycheck, that's going to be a sad ending. It will. Money comes and money goes, folks, but eternity is forever. All right, just two more. All right, I'll get you out of here, right? Fifth, I want to just remind you something. Again, you already know. Look at verse 22. Verse 22, no, it says, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. All right. So I want to say, as we're taking this stuff out of here and kind of comparing it and seeing the parallels that's going on, do you understand the closer you get to going home and the time we're in right now, people's opinions are more desired than the truth. Right? You understand that? People want, you know, they desire opinions more than they will the truth. Verse 22, they're at, what thou thinkest. What, What do you think? And what do you think? And what do well, you know, what is this? The world folk is not really interested in the truth unless it benefits them. Okay, and then they'll use that the most they can. They're not interested in what you think as long as it goes, unless it goes along with what they're thinking. Okay, some kind of stuff. And I'll have to tell you folks here, you know what? You don't want to know what I think because it's just a train wreck many times, all right? It'll stick you to the Word of God, amen, give you the Bible. The problem is, again, we're in Laodicea, and you know what Laodicea is? The rights of the common people. They're more... Their rights were more important than God to them. Folks, that's a sorry time, right? Well, preacher, you know, I just don't think that's right. I think we should do it this way. And, you know, my last church did things this way. And I like that. Well, can I tell you, I have an old nature too. Okay? Sometimes that old nature would just say, hey, sayonara, man. Okay, go back to your old church. But hey, that's not going to help them if they can. I just say, you know what? We take the Bible as the final authority here. Right, Christian? It's the Bible is the final authority. It's not your opinion. It's not my opinion that matters. It doesn't matter a hill of beans, our opinions. It's what saith the Lord. What does the Scriptures have to say? And those Scriptures being rightly divided and put in their context, okay? Now, okay, so there's a couple things I've seen in this chapter that are running right along with us today, right? Church, they're headed for Rome. The encouragement is going to be real important to you. The spirit of loneliness, folks, is going to, I think, get more and more here. Your cause, Christian, must be defined. You need to find, you know, what you're here for. Desired opinions, desired over truth. Now, lastly, look at verse 23 and 24. As he says here, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. All right, so I want to say on this, folks, the closer we are heading home and the Lord coming back, can I say there is really a need for us to redeem the time. You got to redeem the time. You understand, folks, you know, in redeeming the time, you say, well, why do I need to do that? I can just kick back, take it easy, and take my time on this, you know. Seems like things don't change much. Boy, things have changed a whole lot here quick, you know, just not too long ago, right? Ephesians 5, 6 says, the days are evil. The days are evil. We are in a wicked time. All right, we are in a wicked day that we live in. Proverbs 27:1 tells you, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So what that should bring to your mind, folks, hey, you know what? You realize time is short. Time is short. Especially if it's, hey, you might be a young teenager. You might be middle-aged. You might be getting up there. You know, again, what if it's just right around the bend, the Lord's coming back? Or what if, you know, the Lord decides to take you on home before the rapture? It could be tonight, folks. It really could on that kind of stuff. None of us are guaranteed a second more, okay? Neither is anyone promised another day, all right? So you realize that, you know, your family, maybe your friends that you know what? They are souls. They are souls. And depending upon what they do with Jesus Christ is where they're going to be spending eternity. Okay, and you know where that is? That's heaven or hell. Okay, that's the truth. Paul took this day here and he preached Jesus Christ. He took his time to persuade them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses, it says there, and out of the prophets. He told them from morning, it says, till evening. You say, well, what happened, preacher? Okay, well, same thing that happens today, right? Some believed the things that he said, and some believe not. Okay, some believe not. So you understand what I'm saying? You can't force anyone to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is a matter of the will. You can witness to them. You can try to persuade them. You can pray for them. You should do all those things. See, that's redeeming the time. That's taking the time and trying to do something there. But it's a matter of their will. It's a matter of their will. We understand that. But here Paul, if you look through verses 28 through 31, he is preaching salvation. He is redeeming the time, and he's going on. He's making it known to them that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, that Jesus Christ is coming back, right? And if you want to be ready, You're going to have to first be saved, okay? And then, you know what? As a Christian, you need to take time, okay, in building yourself up in the faith, reading and studying the Bible, being faithful in church, witnessing to people, right? Trying God give you openings, you know, tracts and stuff. If you're not can't speak well or something, give them a tract, learn how to say some stuff. And folks, I mean, hey, here we are, right? I'm saying this. I'm hoping the Lord comes back tonight, right now, amen. He is coming back. I hope it's not too much longer. So maybe, I hope maybe some of those things right there in that chapter might encourage you. The thing is, you put your faith in the Bible that God wrote and God preserved, and those things are coming right down the line, just as He promised, amen. All right, let's pray. Father, I sure thank You for these folks coming out here tonight. I pray that You'd help and strengthen them. Lord, we sure need the Holy Spirit of God to give us the guidance, Lord, and lead us and to do the things that are going to please You. And we'll give You the glory and the honor, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, folks, I'll say we'll be dismissed for tonight. I appreciate y'all coming.